Welcome to the full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It's 3:36 p.m. That is Central Time. Today is May 16th. And here is the Fang Man relative to the total market cap ratio. And there's been a very clear rebound of the mega cap shares over the last 3 or 4 months. And that's directly correlated with the release or the popularity of AI and the drive, or I guess the panic around trying to position oneself to benefit from this emerging trend. But now we're coming back up into an area of potential resistance for the ratio. And the big question, of course, is whether this is actually going to fuel a massive secular bull market in AI related stocks in the at the peak of an interest rate cycle. Or whether this is the last gasp of the technology bull run that started back in 2013 at the end of a massive interest rate tightening cycle. So we're really at, I think, a very pivotal point here. Now, the Nasdaq continues to march higher, and it was in positive territory for most of today, but that was the Nasdaq 100. So just about squeezing out an advance. Now, when we look at the Nasdaq Composite, so the wider index, well, it just takes a little bit more to push that to a new high. So that was not achieved. So when we look at the advanced decline line for the Nasdaq, it's not the one that most people pay attention to, but it is still making new lows. So the breadth of the stocks within the Nasdaq is certainly not encouraging. Then, when we think about the S&P 500, well, it was in negative territory, having rebounded off the lows on 4 consecutive days, where it had pushed lower, then rebounded, not quite being able to follow through on the upside in any one of those days. It finally closed on the low of the day. That's not bullish when you see these short-term rebounds that don't get any follow-through, then the chances are that demand is being exhausted rather quickly. Now, the VIX index is beginning to steady here around the 15 area. Now, we've had quite a bit of up and down movement in the index this month. We had 3 big days on the upside at the beginning of the month, and then it came straight back down again. And this is a relatively depressed level below the 20 area. It's right in the region of the lows from back in 2021, and not an especially high level either relative to the preceding history. But we're still in this environment where it is the AI related shares are doing best. So Advanced Micro Devices was up in positive territory today and was well, was among the leading advancers, although it is down a little in after-hours trading. And then companies like Google and Microsoft were also among the leading advancers. So Google was clearly pulling away here from the most recent short-term range. Now, I was looking at some rather interesting data, and it is I was just thinking about the kinds of companies that Alphabet relies on for its income. So, one thing that I thought was interesting is that the second largest customer is Guangdong Advertising. So, even though Google pulled out of China and doesn't have a Chinese operation, they still have plenty of Chinese customers. And you can see here that Beijing Ultra Power is another one of Google's customers. But then you also have companies that basically sell electronics or sell technology services, paying Google quite a lot of money. Then you have other companies like Kingfisher or Computer Center that are among Google's biggest customers. So they're spending a lot of money on trying to advertise their wares, where they're attempting to generate sales off of Google advertising. Then you have other companies like RingCentral. And I thought that was a rather interesting one because RingCentral does appear to be in a terminal downtrend, and they're in Google's top 10 customers. But then I thought what was also especially interesting here is when you look at Meta's customers, and you, well, I think reasonably you'd anticipate that they don't share the same number of customers, or that they're not all about the same customers. Some companies would benefit more from advertising on Google, others from advertising on things like Instagram or Facebook. So you have things like LG Electronics and Cathay Pacific and Carrefour, and those are big consumer-facing brands. Tesco obviously sticking out there. But what I thought was really interesting was Ammo Inc. Ammo Inc. is, I think it says exactly what it does on the tin. They sell ammunition. So they're among Facebook's biggest customers. And this is a company with a market cap of 189 million. So they're spending a lot of money on advertising, and the share continues to trend lower. So this, I think, is important. When we look at companies that are rebounding in an incredibly impressive manner, like Meta, and I do think that it was very undervalued at the end of last year. So there's certainly the potential for a rebound. And I think now that the price is basically where it was back in 2019, it's reasonably fairly valued. But the continued advance will certainly depend on them being able to sell something. And if artificial intelligence is going to be the big trend, well, then there's going to have to be a lot of money generated off the back of it. And that means that they're going to have to be able to sell those kinds of wares to their customers, or they're going to have to use it to generate sales for their customers. And if customers aren't doing especially well, well, that's not especially good news. So let's, for example, look at one of those other big customers. And Cathay Pacific is one of those. So it's reasonable to anticipate that we should see tourism demand improve. But the challenge for airlines is that they have to comply with all of these emissions regulations. So that's rather difficult. And of course, if they haven't effectively hedged their energy demand, well, then that's obviously also going to weigh. So there is a very sharp divergence right now between the performance of the airlines, and certainly we can see that oil prices have contracted significantly over the last year, but are still quite elevated relative to where they were over the preceding 6 or 7 years. And oil prices continue to fail in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. But I think it's particularly relevant to highlight that the hotel brands are right in the region of their all-time peaks. So Marriott is testing the $180 level. I think that's a better testament to the return of tourist demand than the airlines are. I think the airlines business is rather impacted by the emissions regulations that continue to come down the pipe, and then also the uncertainty around debt. And I think these are important questions. Now, when we then think about what's going on in the wider world, well, I think it's particularly relevant that copper prices are breaking on the downside. So this is a very meaningful development. We have not seen a big reaction just yet from the copper miners, and I continue to hold my copper miners position, but I'm certainly not going to burn for the faith here. This is not bullish, and we have a very clear breakdown here. It has now broken a midpoint danger line, so it is pulling back down into the underlying range. The most important thing, though, is that we had the failed upside break at the beginning of 2022, the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, this whole range and rebound that's been underway for the last 8 or 9 months is like a big process of right-hand extension, which has encountered resistance at the lower side of the overhead trading range. It's not bullish action. It's a type 2 top formation with right-hand extension characteristics, or a first step below the peak. And I find it most particularly interesting that you hear copper miners who are exceptionally good at talking or hyping up the idea that there's going to be this phenomenally large shortage of copper. But that is assuming that demand is a constant, and demand is not a constant. It is more predictable than supply most of the time. And in a benign economic environment, one can anticipate that demand for resources or energy will increase in line with global economic growth. And there's a clear correlation between the two, and are the rise of the global consumer and per capita consumption continuing to grow. It's reasonably easy to model what demand will be in the future until there is a period of economic contraction, and then it's impossible to monitor what demand will be. So copper prices are breaking down, despite the fact that the biggest producer of copper in the world, which is Chile, has basically said that they're going to have to spend a ton of money to sustain production, and that it's going to take time. So that feeds through into the shortage argument. So in that environment, when prices are declining, it really does suggest that there's a problem with demand. And it is not just copper. Nickel prices continue to also decline and are pulling back down to new reaction lows in here today. Zinc prices have also been declining. And I do apologize, these are rather long tickers. When we look at zinc, it has been trending downwards now for several weeks. The one that's been holding out perhaps better than others has been the tin price. And even there's the potential that it will also break on the downside. So, to the extent that copper supply is a Chile story, copper demand is a China story. And the reality here is that we've had quite a bit of volatility in the banking sector. Now, the initial flurry of activity that we saw last week was in direct response to speculation that the state-owned enterprises would benefit enormously from the focus of the central government on state-owned enterprises and really controlling the flow of credit. And so far, that really hasn't appeared. So prices have started to come back down, and they're pausing now at the upper side of the underlying trading range. So the market's in a bit of a show me mood. But then let's just look at some of these companies that would benefit if there were more liquidity made available. Country Garden would be one of those, but it's trending downwards. So we had a good sized rebound at the end of last year, but never got back above the 200-day moving average, and now it's trending lower again. And I think this is important, that what we can definitely say is that the Chinese administration has no interest in reflating the property bubble. So they probably want to avoid a crash, and I think that's reasonable. There's no country doesn't want to avoid a crash in property. But what are they willing to do to stop deflationary forces? Because the reality here is that the 10-year yield is contracting rather quickly, down now to 2.7%, and there is one way of thinking about it, which is to say, well, golly, Chinese yields are so low because they didn't have an inflation problem, and the government is very well funded, so it's a good credit. The other way of thinking about it is that bond yields are so low because there's an acute risk of deflation, and there's nowhere better to put the money, and that. There's a real significant risk that wherever you put the money, then it might not generate a positive return. Though that's another way of thinking about this decline in the yield. But then we can think about the renminbi, and the dollar is appreciating versus the renminbi, and it was up in a fairly dynamic manner today, but it's at a new recovery high. So weak Chinese expansion in what might be deemed the traditional economy could potentially be problematic for lots of different countries. And most particularly, then there's the risk of a recession in Germany. And the exports of goods from Germany to China peaked about 2 years ago at about 12 billion a month. It's down now to about 8.6 billion, which is basically where it was in 2010. And the DAX index is overbought and susceptible to at least some pause of consolidation here. But then within the technology sector in China, we're getting a very similar picture to what's happening in on Wall Street, that it is the AI companies are among the leading decliners here, or excuse me, advancers here. Alibaba, for example, is bouncing and has an inverted head and shoulders characteristic. And they are basically saying that they think that they can develop an AI inside the strictures of the Communist Party's manifesto. And that's going to be an interesting one. And certainly people are going to have a great deal of fun playing with it. Then you have Tencent, which is bouncing rather impressively today from the region of the 200-day moving average. And I think what we're seeing right now is a one-way bet on technology continuing to lead and the assumption that interest rates are going to come down and that we're going to move back into the benign, low inflation, high liquidity, low interest rate environment that was the norm for most of the last decade. But high yield bonds are rolling over. They have not broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and we're in negative territory again in here today. The high yield spread is not surging higher, but it's still holding above the 500 basis point level. We're still in an environment where we have a negative, we have, excuse me, we have an inverted yield curve. And that inverted yield curve has been around for sufficiently long to begin to cause problems on the credit horizon. So companies are defaulting on debt or going bankrupt, or I guess seeking bankruptcy protection at an accelerating rate. The spread between the 10-year and the 3-month is still trending downwards, although it has narrowed somewhat over the last couple of days. I would hasten to add that the time when the yield curve spread is trending higher from an inverted level is generally consistent with when we see the greatest period of weakness in the stock market, which is why I continue to hold on to my NASDAQ short. I think it's a very sensible hedge. And then we can think then just simply about the NASDAQ or this and the relative to the S&P 500. So the S&P has also popped higher and it is above the 200-day moving average and it has bounced from the region of the 1,000-day moving average, but it hasn't really been able to push additionally higher. And then we have big companies that have really had big missteps like Disney. And the share right now is at less than half of where it peaked back in 2021, and the trend is downwards. So, a lot of the business models that were developed over the last decade, like the sharing economy, don't work. The streaming services, nobody's really been able to demonstrate that they work in aggregate. Maybe streaming might work for one service, but will it work for every service? I think that's a very big open question. Then let's, for example, think about Adobe. Well, it's probably the company most at risk from AI, and there's a, I think, a strong likelihood that it will be completely subverted in terms of its business model over the next several years. The basic business model of Adobe is to sell video and photo editing software, and you can get basically artificial intelligence to do it for you now. So why on earth would anybody be paying Adobe? And I think the share is at about half of where it was back in 2021, and there's clearly the potential that it could halve again, and still trading on a PE of 22 and a price to sales ratio of nearly 9 times. And this is in an environment where it could be outcompeted in much the same way that HanesBrands was. And we can just simply think about that HanesBrands was a company that made was in every single fundamental value filter over the course of the last decade. That it had an immaculate balance sheet, it had a strong position in the market for men's underwear, and the share has done nothing but trend downwards. And it's not far off down 90% from where it was back in 2015. And then that cherished dividend has now been discontinued. So the reality here is that even when companies have got strong earnings, when their product is being copied with ease by others and innovations come along, then that's when we just simply think about what happened with Amazon. The entire question for the internet back in the 1990s was disintermediation. So it was basically concentrating the buying power of the population in one website, which was Amazon, rather than all those mom-and-pop stores. Well, this was also the problem for HanesBrands, that as soon as Amazon starts making its own basics line, as soon as Target starts making its own basics line, why on earth would anybody pay a premium for Hanes? And then I think it is going to be exactly the same story with Adobe. So we're definitely going to see these kinds of changes within business models, and the some companies that had a very specific niche are going to disappear as a result of artificial intelligence. And we can think about companies, for example, like TripAdvisor. Well, why would anybody be particularly focused on reading reviews or buying from TripAdvisor when you can get artificial intelligence to tell you where is the best place to take a holiday? And I think it's going to be a very similar story for companies like Yelp. And Yelp, at least, is ranging rather than trending downwards. But the big question then is it going to be able to do enough to break up and out of this base formation? So we're definitely in this very difficult environment where there's a panicky res there's definitely some panic to try and position for artificial intelligence. But we cannot forget that there is a technology cycle and an interest rate cycle. And when they align, you get bull markets in technology. But ultimately, credit leads the stock market, and credit does not look happy. And I think that is by far the most important characteristic. So, gold prices were weaker today, pulling back below the 2000 level, potentially going to unwind the short-term overbought condition. Silver had the big downward dynamic last week and continues to unwind its own short-term overbought condition. And this is in response to some dollar strength. So the dollar is strengthening because money is getting taken off the table. And it is reasonable to anticipate the dollar would strengthen in an environment where risk-off is starting to occur. It's when we start to see interest rates coming back down, when we start to see greater liquidity getting poured into the market in order to stave off the worst effects of a recession, that's when we'll see a big ramping higher in prices for precious metals. And therefore, I view any weakness as a potential buying opportunity. I think it's very relevant to pay attention to what's happening in Brazil. because the central bank has basically said they're not going to cut interest rates until they see some movement on fiscal probity. And there are new fiscal rules being pushed through the Congress in order to stop the government from boosting spending if they don't have the cash available to it to do it. And basically, it's a balanced budget type of initiative. Well, we are nowhere near getting those kinds of rules passed in other countries. Brazil has positive real rates in excess of 9%. They have been exceptionally aggressive in raising interest rates. They've killed off inflation. It's now back inside the pre-pandemic trend or range, I guess. And there's obviously the potential that it will benefit from this tough medicine that's been taken over the last 18 months. And the real is pausing right now in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. But this is an example of what a government and a central bank can do in order to get inflation under control. So it's not impossible, but it does require taking hard medicine. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite for those kinds of moves in much of the Western world. But that might only be a matter of time. I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.